Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Salita, the host of Say Your Piece radio show here on Blog Talk Radio. Join me and Brian for informative show about life, love, politics, and culture. Eyes of the Black Woman with your host, Salita.
Good evening, everyone. I'm hoping everyone is having a great evening. This is Through the Eyes of the Black Woman with your host, Salita, and it's Saturday, December 22nd, and 3 days it will be Christmas. And I know everybody's excited, ready to go, ready to exchange gifts, all the travel. Hopefully you have all your travel out the way. Friday night, I wound up having to go to a meeting, and I did not get back in time to do the show. So hopefully tonight we can get through it and be fun. I want to feature an artist, a musical artist, and she's always been a love of mine, and it's going to be Nancy Wilson. Anybody knows about Nancy Wilson, that's going to be the songs we'll be playing tonight, her songs. So I'm going to try to start doing that on Through the Eyes of a Black Woman. It's featuring a musical artist that I like, and I'm quite sure if you know who that person is, you'll like them too, or her too. Okay, tonight's show is going to be basically about the stuff or things and situations we do to prevent us from having a full life, enjoying life. So I made sure I put on there, stop that. Stop doing all the craziness that you don't have to do in order to live your life. We sometimes put our own stumbling blocks and obstacles in our way. You know, we say, you know, we want God to move our stumbling blocks out. Sometimes we create the stumbling blocks, and then we're praying to God to remove them when we could remove them ourselves. Not to take anything from the power of God or Jesus. I'm just saying sometimes we set ourselves up in situations where we set the stumbling blocks up, and then we want to cry and whine and be pitied and patted and primped to get through them when we could have moved them ourselves. We had all avenues and all options to do it ourselves. If you noticed on the pictures, the slides that I put up, the fighting, the bullying, the craziness that we get ourselves into, we've got to stop. And this is not about New Year's and you know, it's about stopping it, just period, stop it. And it's hard because it's like drugs. You can't just stop it right off the bat, but it can be stopped. And it's up to us to do it. We've got to find a way to stop it ourselves. And if we don't do it, guess what? We're in trouble. Trying to turn off my tablet. So I thought this would be a great time to talk about that. Before the new year really do start, I'll say this. On the show tonight, we'll talk about a few things that we are doing that, to me, is not productive at all. One thing for sure is how we see ourselves. How do we see ourselves? You know, I always, and I know this is something you've probably heard before, when it comes to inventory and who we are and how we are. What I find is sometimes I sit out of myself. I come out of my, I don't want to say outer body experience. But I can go back if a situation happened and I watch how I handled that situation. I might have popped off and was angry and went off on somebody. And then I go home or I go to a quiet place for me and I reflect on that situation and actually beat myself up a little bit and say, you know what, you could have handled that differently. Or you could have let that person, you know, have that one. You know, every now and then it's all right to let somebody else have the power. But then I can't go back and fix it. So what do I do to move forward and not to let this be, you know, drag me down? I make sure or I try to, when I'm in that situation again, is to reflect on how did I handle it the last time. And if it was something negative, then I don't want to find myself handling it in the same way that I did before. So how do we see ourselves? Can we change how we see ourselves if there's a need to change? Everybody doesn't have that gung-ho attitude. Everybody is not passive. Some people just don't know how to. Well, they've never had that person to teach them how to handle certain situations. And I'm not no walking book. I couldn't tell you. I handle things as they come my way. And let me say this. This is not about me. I use myself as an example, but this is not about me. And I say that because I'm not perfect, but I want you to also in the thick of everything is to see how can you reflect on how you are as a person. I can only talk about me because I know I am, and I love to observe other people and how they react to stuff, and how, you know, how they handle situations. You know, I say to myself, you know what? I don't think I would have handled it like that. I think I would have rather pulled the person to the side and talked instead of going off on them and embarrassing them. And that's something I just don't like doing. I don't like being embarrassed in front of a lot of people. And that's just me. And I don't like to embarrass people. I avoid confrontations as much as possible. But don't back me in the corner. I'll say it to you like that. Don't back me in the corner. Because if you back me in the corner, that's something different. But I'd rather walk away. I'll let you say what you got to say. Most of the time, people do. You say what you got to say, and, you know, you have that one. And I'd rather talk to you one-on-one anyway instead of in front of a lot of people. Because like I said, when somebody else is embarrassing somebody, I feel embarrassed for that person. I don't know why, I just do. So I know if I'm doing that for somebody else, I know I do that for myself, definitely. Triple times more. For myself. So being loud and embarrassing toward people, that doesn't go over well. If you're trying to get friends and you think that's the way you can get friends, you're going to only attract people that are just like you. Keep that in mind. If you're messy, those are the people that you're going to attract in your life. If you're intelligent, those are the people that you're going to attract in life. If you are fighter, every time you go somewhere, you got to fight somebody, you angry all the time, those are the type of people that you're going to attract. I don't like to be angry all the time because I think God has blessed us enough that we don't have to be. So if you holler, you're about God and God this and praise God, and then you're that most angriest person you've ever met. No. Mm-mm. No, I'm sorry. I don't think God has all that kind of anger in him, and I don't think he wants it in us. So I don't, you know, I look at you and I walk away because I'm like, okay, why are they so angry? What has life done to them that they got to be so angry and they walk around with a chip on their shoulder for everything, you know, and then they complain about everything. I don't understand that. So that's why the question was, how do we see ourselves? Or do we even pay attention to ourselves? Some people don't like to be alone. So they'll never learn themselves. They'll never have time to themselves. The only time they're with themselves is probably when they go to the restroom, when they get dressed, and when they lay down to sleep. But they always have to have somebody around them all the time. Those type of people never see their wrong unless a stranger is watching them and a stranger comes to them and tells them what they see. Then we get an attitude and want to fight somebody. I don't understand that. I promise you guys, I don't understand to have that much anger in you all the time. Not some of the time, but all the time. Every time you talk to this person, you know, you could see it in them. That's something wrong. And there's something underlying with that. That's not just the surface of somebody. That's something deep down inside that they haven't worked out with themselves or somebody, whoever they're angry with. So when we work on how we see ourselves, the next question is, can we change? Is there a possibility that we can change? Is there a possibility that we can change the way we see ourselves? And do we want to really change? That's another thing. Do you want to really change? Do we want to really change? And I'm writing this down as I go because sometimes I'll forget certain things and I can't have them on my mind until I'm actually having a discussion. I know that sounds crazy, but that's me. So do we really want to change or are we happy the way we are? Let me say this, and that's why I said this is about people. When I say stop that, this is about people who, how can I say that? This is about people who have those issues going on, these angry, quote-unquote, angry people, these people who have all this drama going on in their lives constantly, all the time there's something. You're arguing with somebody. You're always cussing somebody out. I think that's exhausting. I learned, you know, because at times I had a lot of drama in my life too. But I find it exhausting. And so what I do is I avoid it. If it's not necessary, I avoid it. I avoid all that drama because life is too short. People are passing away every day, and life is too short. Now, I will say this. I have some anger issues with me. I do. And I'm not making excuses for them because I don't want to use the word but. I know when to deal with them. And lots of times, if it's not really that important or not that crucial, I can set my anger to the side. It depends on what the situation is. And maybe that's the same thing for you. But I've met people that no matter how many times I've been around these people, they're angry. I mean, so exhausted. And just talking to them exhausts me. Talking to them because they're so angry. And you're like, you know what, things are going to get better. And they are, you know, they still, you know, going at you like, no, it ain't going to ever get better. Those type of people, those the ones I'm talking to, stop it. Stop it. You know, well, God just, I just want God to bless me. Because, okay, you're asking God to bless you, but you're so doggone angry, he can't get in. That concept don't go together. And you know we already have a stigma. Black women are angry with chips on their shoulder. I don't know where anybody got that concept from, but that's how they feel about us. And it's totally, totally wrong. Not all of us are angry. But that's what they perceive out of us because that's what we give them. You know, I like to smile. I like to laugh. I like to tell crazy jokes. I like to intermingle with people. It doesn't matter for me. I don't mind doing that. But some people just, you can't make them laugh. Or they don't get the joke, and they get upset, and then you got this angry person again. So If there's a possibility to change, would you change? Would you want to change, or are you comfortable in that skin that you wear every day? Are you comfortable with that blanket of anger wrapped around you every day? You get up in the morning angry, you go to bed at night angry. You go to work angry, you go shopping angry. You got a, I mean, you just got this terrible aura around you. Do you want to continue to be like that way? Well, I've always been that way. I ain't changing now. Okay. Some of you have already made your decision. You're not going to change. You want to stay angry. You want to stay bent out of shape constantly all the time. I think that's so exhausting. My God. To be exhausted is to work hard at something, to make something work for you. And it sounds like if you want to be angry all the time, then that's working against who you are and what you are. Why would you want to be that way? And if some people literally believe that's how they really want to be. And I don't understand that. I do not understand that. Why would you always want to be angry? Okay, you guys, I think we can take a small break. Give me a second here.
We will return with Through the Eyes of the Black Woman with your host, Salida.
Your picture is always in my head. I don't need your portrait, dear, to call you to mind. For sleeping or waking, dear, and I forget to do the little ordinary thing that everyone ought to do. Though it may seem to me that's everything, the mere idea of you.
Craziness, the bullying, the fighting, the acting crazy. Let's stop that. The questions was asked, how do we see ourselves? Can we see change in ourselves? Is there a possibility that we want to change? And while I was talking to you guys, you know me, I love reading articles, okay? I found this article, and it's on Christear.com, which I had never heard of before. And the question is, why do black women have such nasty attitudes? Which I think is a very, I don't like the way that they said that. And somebody said this, let me see who this is written by, first of all, because I'm very curious about, oh, this is a man named Abe wrote this. Oh, okay. Let's see what they think of. And Abe is a white man, you guys. Okay, let's see what Mr. Abe says. Have you ever noticed that black women have such nasty attitudes? It matters not the setting. The results are always one and the same. Nasty. Smacked gum, snarled face, squirmy neck, and high-pitched voice. Black women have a chip on their shoulders and always a sense of false entitlement. Okay. Wow. This is what this man thinks of us. This topic started to brew deep in my soul and gut the other day when I was just driving peacefully down the road. Suddenly and without warning, a young black woman was tailgating my truck and angrily honking her horn without cause. She was apparently in a hurry, and when I looked in my rearview mirror, I saw a screaming black harpy giving me a middle finger business. She then got in the wrong lane past me and rolled her passenger window down to yell some profanities. This really ruined my morning and set me foul. In my mind, I started to think of all the other times in my life when black women were just nasty to me without any good reason. I'll be there, just standing and minding my own business. Then suddenly a black woman is snapping her eyes or giving sassy stares in my direction. What is the psychological component that makes black women have such anger and animosity toward normal men just minding their own business? Take this next situation, for example. Several years ago, I was simply at Walmart and doing some family grocery shopping. I was looking over some fresh produce for a fruit salad recipe my wife wished to prepare. A black woman was looking over bundles of fresh lettuce and packing them in her car. She had a full cart of these strange green lettuce bundles, so I asked and said, "Ma'am, what on earth is that breed of lettuce you are putting into your cart? Why so much?" With a demented snap of her black neck and brown eyes, this vile woman looked me up and down and says, "What you mean, honk-tonk cracker? These are greens. You're ignorant." Then she stormed off. Now, one, there was no cause for her to be racist and call me hateful names. Just because my skin is normal toned does not give her the right to be evil. Why do black women think they can be racist and get away with it? Simply wanted to know the health benefits of all the lettuce she was packing up on. I knew it was green, but she just had to belabor the point as if I was dumb. So all of last week, I chewed these thoughts up and pondered, why are black women so mean to nice people such as myself, just consistently? Is it a social breeding issue, psychological? Are black people inherently racist and think I owe them something due to the pretty issues from hundreds of years ago? To fully investigate these thoughts, we must look into the black culture itself. We must understand this attitude and bad, malicious spirit of the black woman at the root. Why are these women just mean and nasty so often? To understand a black woman, we must first break down their nature and then their nurture. It is no secret that blacks are more primal than other races, especially when watching the Olympics. You'll see the more cerebral people running a bit slower than the toned, taunt bodies of the athletic black athletes, I guess that's what they're saying. Okay. Now, I'm trying to figure out, what did she say wrong? I mean, he asked her a question. This is what I'm saying, how people view us. This just really, 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 really just blows my mind. This is how people view us, that we're angry all the time. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I don't get it. We're always angry no matter what we do. We're never happy about nothing. I don't get it. And it's not true. That's what gets me, is that this is far from the truth about us. We are not always angry. And, well, I really, and see, this is why I say that we have to look at ourselves and figure out what's going on with us before we're lashing out at other people that are innocent. And I'm not, I'm telling you right now, I didn't even finish reading the article because I'm like kind of right now, and I'm a little teed that he said that. That's just how I'm feeling right now. I think that was very inappropriate for him to make a determination that we're angry all the time. Maybe she was not in the right mood for you to ask her that. I've been snapped up by white women. I mean, come on, don't have nothing to do with our color. But we do have some issues now. I'm not trying to make it sound like we don't. We have some issues, you know, and of all people, I'm not being racist, as they claim we are, but I don't think they have no judgment call on how we are. I don't think they have that right. I'm sorry. I don't think they have that right to do a judgment call on and tell me how I am and how my people are, you and my sisters are. You can't. I'm sorry. I don't agree with that at all, and I'll tell anybody that I don't agree that you have that. You can make your own. To me, that's your own consensus or your decision on your interpretation or perception of us. That's on you. That's not on how we are. That's basically on you. But getting back to, because that article kind of teed me off. I thought I was going to learn something from that, but I didn't. We are angry, and we do have nasty attitudes. I will agree with that. But I want to say this. If you know that you have this, what are you doing about it? Do you think there is a way that you can get help on this? I mean, if you thought you needed help, could you do it? Would you get the help that is needed? You know, that's a question. Would you, you know, seek help, you know, help me deal with all this anger that I have? Can I do something differently? You know, can I work on, you know, how can I, how do you want to say that? I want to say, how can I deal with it? Do I always have to be angry? Can I turn my lemons into lemonade? Is there a possibility that I can be happy, that things can be different? Do I always have to deal with all the baby mama drama and all that? Do we have to do that? Those are just questions, you know, you ask. I mean, I look at it, for example, and we talk about baby mama drama, and please do not get this wrong. It is not only in the white families, it's in the black families too. And I think about the holidays, you know, everybody's getting together and we're angry because no longer does he want me, he doesn't want the kids, he don't want to have anything. You ever wonder why all of that is together. And we don't pay attention to, and I want not to get off the subject of being angry and nasty. When we get into these relationships, that's something we have to look at, the relationships we get into and with whom we get in relationship with. That to me, that's very, very, very important, that we take time out and we don't do it. We're either lusting after this person. Oh, wait a minute. I got someone calling in just a second there. Hello?
Good evening, Sister Salida. How are you? This is Sister Gidja Muhammad.
Hi, ma'am. How are you tonight?
I am fine. I finally took a moment out of my busy schedule and wanted to listen to someone else's show for a change.
So hard, is it?
Yes, ma'am.
So what you think so far? I mean, tell me if I'm hitting it on the mark or if I'm off the mark. Talk to me.
Well, I didn't catch the beginning. I just caught you when you were asking questions about anger. And, you know, I think the first step to curing anything is the acknowledgement. Sometimes anger becomes a habit. When they say, for black women in particularly, that we have this attitude and, you know, we are so aggressive, we have to kind of take accountability of, you know, what we're angry about. And, you know, it can be generational. You know, if your mother had a snazzy attitude and your grandmother had a snazzy attitude, it could also be a learned behavior. But for us to be better today, we really have to turn a mirror on self and figure out why we're not happy, because we are responsible for our own happiness, and everything that we yield to, we're giving our power to. So we have to make a commitment to ourselves that we're going to be happy and we're going to do what it takes for us to be happy, and we're not going to let anybody or anything steal our joy. We have to desire that for ourselves. So the first thing is acknowledgement.
Okay, so with acknowledgement, some people know, and some people, you know, they're really paying attention to, oh, I know this is not right, but this is how I am. I hear people say that. Well, this is how I am, and I'm not going to change. Okay, but you're not going to change. Are you expecting a different result? Are you expecting people to be nice to you when we know that you have a very nasty attitude? Are you angry all the time? Do you expect people, or you want people to overlook you because, oh, that's just how she is?
Well, I think that's laziness. I think that's a scapegoat, a way to avoid the real issues, because I've dealt with people who were harboring anger from child molestation to a bad relationship. And so it's those things that we hang on to justify our behavior, because we don't want to do the work to fix it. It's easier to walk around angry and display an attitude and feel justified in having it than to work through the issues and resolve it.
Okay, now when it comes to relationships, because that was the next subject, when it comes to relationships and one of the things, my main thing is stop it. Stop all the drama. And when it comes to relationships, we are so full of unnecessary drama.
Yes, ma'am.
We force ourselves to feel like we want to love somebody who won't give a crap about us. But we'll go through hell and high water to make sure that person sees us, get our attention, we'll do stupid stuff, we'll get their attention, and then it's not the attention that we really want. We want them to love us, but they're not going to love us because we got too much drama going on. And then we're angry about us having too much drama, and because the person doesn't, they receive what you got, but they're not giving it back. You're not getting what you want from that person. So we clown
right.
Even more. So when do the question stop?
I'm sorry, say that again?
I was just saying, when does the craziness stop? I've literally seen, and I've had friends that have been in these type of relationships where he still deals with you. He still uses you because he's using you at that point. But he really don't want to have anything to do with you. He has pity sex with you because you whine and cry and do your drama to get their attention. And you're still doing it, and you're not getting it. People are telling you over and over again, leave him alone. You know, stop the craziness. You're driving by his house. When do you realize enough is enough? That's what I'm saying. When do you realize?
Well, let me just say this. For black women in particularly, that is a deep-rooted problem because we have to deal with the realities of our own personal lives. And the reality is that most of us, with the ratio now being that 72% of the mothers in the black community are single, we have to deal with the reality that the absenteeism of a man's love has a very dramatic effect on the life of the female. So her first contact with a love or a relationship with a man that is very intimate is not always the right relationship. So if she wasn't validated at home, if she didn't have that role model of what kind of man to go out there and seek, then the first man that came along and said something nice to her or paid her a compliment is who she gave herself to, and that becomes a learned behavior. But we as women, all women, I don't care what color you are, we have to know our value. And we have to know one thing. I tell people this all the time. If every woman in the world would dress up like a nun, brothers, all brothers, color don't matter, would turn around, turn their behavior around, and respect us for being who we are because we have what they want. We have the one thing that they can't substitute or get anywhere else. But if we don't hold ourselves to a higher standard, then how do we expect a man to respect us in a higher standard way when we ourselves are giving ourselves away? You know, we're harboring resentment. We're taking the baggage over from one relationship to another. We see that a brother or a man is no good for us. We know his reputation, but we pursue him because we're used to that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about how we think about ourselves. If you don't think you deserve better, then you're not going to get better. You're not going to do better at your choices of selecting a partner. It's all about us. It's all about controlling our behavior. It's all about recognizing our worth. And when we learn to really love ourselves and when we know what our worth and our value is, then we'll step up our game. But drama is not the way. It's doing the same thing, expecting a different result, which is insanity. Drama is not the way. It's all about making a conscious decision, Salida, that we want to be happy. And we are responsible for our happiness. But we settle for so much. We settle for the man that wants to sit at home and drink all day, the man who wants to abuse our children, the man that wants to neglect us, the man that doesn't want to pay child support. We accept a whole lot of things that we don't have to accept. But we get so caught up in the pattern that we just fail to let go. So it's about a conscious decision.
And that's what we lack is conscious decisions when it comes to these types of things. And you said something about the value of a person. When you don't know your value, you're right. Nobody won't feel the worth in you. They won't see the worth in you. Even if you don't wear the nun suit, you still, people are not going to see that in you because guess what? You're not portraying. You're not even letting value and fight you at. I love what you said. Another part of the relationship thing I was thinking about, too, is the fighting. What is this deal that we got to fight with each other? What is that?
Well, I don't know if you want my version of that. You know, that is also a learned behavior. And, you know, for black people in particularly, that's a learned behavior. That's an old plantation behavior. I'm not going to give anybody a history lesson, but that's an old plantation behavior. We've always been pitted against one another since we've been in this country. And when you are taught that you're nothing, then you don't value the ones that look like you. Mm-hmm. And people don't understand that that has been passed on from generation to generation. It's the lack of unification, it's the lack of respect, and it's the lack of self-love. And until we learn to look at our sisters and brothers and say, hey, you know, you are a replica of me, I should love and respect you as much as I love and respect myself. Until we get to that point, we're going to always have this. But what we can do right now is that if each individual person would make a conscious decision that nothing is worth dividing our people more than they're divided already, and nothing is worth me degrading myself, then we'll cut all that foolishness out, because what are we fighting about? We don't own anything. We certainly don't own another person. Why are we bickering and arguing amongst one another? And if there is something to fight about, physical confrontation or verbal abuse is not going to resolve the issue. Why can't we, who claim to be intelligent, sit down and find a resolution, and let's move forward to make things better? Because we all claim to be intelligent. We all claim to have knowledge.
Yes, yes.
But we don't display that.
Nope. We let our anger take over, and we got to, and plus, a lot of us are drama queens. So what we do is we got to have our audience, because we can't be alone. So we got to have enough people around us so that when we clown, that everybody can see how angry and mad and how we can cuss and act a fool in front of everybody. You know, we have to have an audience. You can't do it without an audience. So you're going to have people around us, the Peanut Grat Gallery. Kick her ass. Go ahead, kick her ass. If you would have said that to me, I'd kick her ass. You know, you got to
right.
do that. Thrive on that. Like you said, go back to slave mentality in the plantation, how we were taught to be pit against each other. We come up in generation 400 years later, 500 years later, we're still doing the same thing. So if you know this, why would you continue to put yourself in that position? I don't get that. I don't understand that. I can't say I didn't fight nobody, but I tell you what, at 48 years old, I can say I have not had a lot of fights in my life, and especially over no man. I just don't do that. That's not me. I'm sorry. So I've had an opportunity not to have to deal with all that all the time. You know, when people want to fight you, well, what? Who's going to get the better out of this? Because you, what, whooped me, you beat me up, you put some scars on me, so that makes you a better person than I am? No, we wind up embarrassing each other. And we don't know how to sit down and have a conversation about it. Because me, I don't even like getting loud with somebody in public. I have issues with that because I don't like somebody embarrassing me. I'm not going to embarrass you. But people do it all the time, and it don't even bother them that they're clowning somebody for something that's really, really trivial. So where do we stop? Where do we stop and start looking at each other, like you said, look at each other with value, with confidence, with something that I can take from you and you can take from me? When do we stop that? When can we start doing that?
Yes, ma'am. I understand what you're saying. And it's the same thing I said before. We have to be accountable for ourselves, because you know just as well as I do, no one can control anyone else. Okay. So we have to make the decision ourselves. Now, you have some people, you have some women in particularly who have egos bigger than men. Their ego is, hey, I can cuss you up under the table. I can beat you down like a dude. I can be loud and I can get attention, and people can look at me and say I'm bad and I'm a diva and I'm the sister that'll put foot in your behind and this, that, and the other. But at the end of the day, when you tally all that up, that don't get you nothing.
That's right.
It gets
you
nothing. You're not anything of value. You're not going to be the woman that he wants to take home to meet his mother.
That's right.
You know, if he gets you pregnant, it's going to be on accident because he's not looking at you as someone who's going to be, that he desires to be the mother of his children.
That's
you're
right.
Just going to be his band warmer. And if this is what you desire, then you ain't got to act no fool to even do that. Just lay down like you've been doing. But my whole point is that they have to have a purpose, and they have to know what their purpose is. And if you don't have a purpose, and if it's your negative environment that is creating a purpose for you, you have the responsibility to know and want better for yourself. It's just like if I wanted you to be a millionaire, Talita, if I don't have $1 million to give you, I'm just desiring that for you, but it's not going to do me any good to desire it for you if you don't desire it for yourself and you're not striving for that goal. So we have to strive for what we want in this life. Nothing is going to be handed to us, not even dignity, pride, or respect. It's all about striving, but it doesn't have to be that hard if we would just take accountability for our own actions and just act intelligently.
We're chasing
the wrong thing. You know, we're glamorizing the wrong thing. We're filling our minds with the wrong thing. We're looking at TV. We're trying to mimic somebody, act like somebody. We want to admire all the wrong people instead of looking at the beauty within ourselves and projecting that entity of us forward.
And because, too, you're right, and society helps with that negativeness by pushing all that, you know, oh, I want to be a bad bitch, I want to be a bad hoe, and I want to, and really, I mean, to me, why would you want to compare yourself to these people that sing these songs, these, Nicki Minaj and all these, Trina and all these women who degrade themselves for the love of money?
They're faking it. And you know what? They catch so much hell because they sing about all that stuff. But then if you look at the headlines, when somebody knocks the hell out of them or if somebody calls them out their name, you know, if they all offended. Well, why are you offended if this is what you're representing?
People
can't separate the star from the stars. You know what I'm saying? It's like they don't understand that this is an act. You know, this is all an act. And I think Ice Cube, who, you know, was a rapper with NWA, he said it best. You know, he said, I had to stop pretending to be what I was not. Because even though he was in the rap group NWA with Eazy-E and Dr. Dre and them, Dr. Dre and Ice Cube were not gangsters. They were not gangsters, so they had to kind of pull away from that representation because of everything that followed. So we have to pull away from negativity and go towards positivity in order to have a productive life. But it's all about a personal choice.
And then, too, you're right, it's all about a personal choice. But when you're bombarded with this on a constant basis, it is kind of hard, especially when you think about people who live in the ghetto life. And I say ghetto life, or living the life where you're living in the big cities, and this is all you hear. You hear this 24/7 all the time, and you don't get to see the positiveness that happens. or you know what, it's not exposed. You're not exposed to positive, the positive part of being you. You don't see you in a positive way because you have no replica of it. You got your parents that fighting and cussing each other out, smoking weed, doing the whole nine yards. You got your friends acting that way. You got your aunties acting that way. You got your uncles acting that way. So you, like you said, you're in a generation of people, just angry people all the time. So how do you step away from all that when this is your life? This is your life. And there's so many of our, we start them as kids and we raise them up and you wonder why we're locking them up now. Because you got to remember, mama, you act a fool in front of them. You beat up your auntie. You beat up auntie over her man. You beat up the next door neighbor over her man. You know, daddy beating up other men over you. So you see this on a constant basis. So what do you do to when you become that angry young woman or angry young man? Cause actually, we're talking about women. Young woman that has this attitude. You know, you. What do you do? How do you get them to understand how important it is for them to take care of themselves and to know that it's more out here than what you're living in right now? How do we do that? Do we take it to them or do we take them out of that? You understand what I'm saying?
Well, I think a perfect example is, you know, we always kind of sit around and wait for somebody to save us. And those of us who are blessed to have knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, that responsibility falls on our shoulders. And we have to really look at what we have been exposed to. We're exposed to substandard education.
Yep.
When they decided to create neighborhoods for us, they created suburbs for themselves and ghettos for us. So when you're talking about a ghetto, you're talking about a common people who have a common economic status, but also a common mentality.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't put positive with a negative so that the positive can encourage the negative. They just put the negative on top of the negative so the negative can continue to manifest. So those of us who have been able to rise above that condition have the responsibility to go back to our communities, to go back and mentor to our young children, because they're getting a substandard education. In school, they're not supposed to teach you about self-respect. They're not supposed to teach you about pride and dignity. But what happens to us, if we happen to get a GED, or if we happen to get a high school diploma, or if we happen to get a college degree, then what happens is that we stop educating ourselves. And we depend on institutions of higher learning to educate our children. But we have a responsibility to educate our children on how to be a positive person, how not to be a menace to society. So for those of us who are considered ourselves learned people, what we want to do, we want to get out of the ghetto. We want to move out there next door to the, you know, to the white, to the employed people. You know, we want to be, you know, in our Mercedes Benz and things of that nature. But then what happens is that the ones that you left back in the ghetto, they're crossing the line into suburban America and they're killing us.
That's right. That's right.
And because of the jealousy and because of the envy and because we never took the time to reach back and say, hey, I made it. Let me show you how to make it. Let me teach you how to make it. You know, and if you can't make it, let me give you the tools to help your children make it out of here. But we don't do that because we're so selfish. But again, that's also a learned behavior, because if you go even now in 2000 and almost 13 to the villages of Africa, like where my father's from, in the Kitimia village outside of Kenya, there is a unity there. And in that village, everybody has a purpose. The children have a purpose. Their responsibility is to get educated, to become knowledgeable of the land, to come become knowledgeable of the dangers around the village. The young men are for counsel. The old men are for counsel. The young men are for war. The women are for nurturing, nursing care, and providing education. And the elders are the guiding force of the village. We don't even utilize our elders anymore. Once they get old and they start getting in our way and whatever, we put them away. But the elders become the glue and the adhesive that holds that village together with the wisdom. But we don't do that anymore. We don't utilize our people the way that we're supposed to utilize as a village. That's why they say it takes a village to raise a child, because each individual entity has something that that child needs. Exactly. And so we've gotten away from that. We have to start creating the village again so that, yes, when we do get our PhDs and all of that, we need to reach back, but we don't do that.
Exactly.
We never do that.
You guys, don't go nowhere, sis. I will be back with Through the Eyes of a Black Woman. You're going to hear a little bit of Nancy Wilson.
All right.
You're so late getting home from the office. Did you miss your train? Were you caught in the rain? No, don't bother to explain. Can I fix you a quick martini? As a matter of fact, I'll have one with you. For to tell you the truth, I've had quite a day too.
Tell the story of our existence in our own worlds. I want others to know that we all have a story to tell about who we are and what we are about. We as women play a very important role in life. God has allowed us to bear the brunt and bruises of so much pain throughout the world because he knew that we could survive through wars and injustices that have been geared toward us. He truly knew what he was doing when he created us. That is why they say we are the better half of the man. We as women need to take our place and stand tall, not wavering on who we are. We need not allow others to define us. We need to come together and stop putting each other down, making one another feel that they have to compete. Compete for attention, for relevance, and for substance. We have to know that we are somebody, that we are strong, resilient, intelligent, and most of all, survivors. Again, I say stand tall. Take your place in what defines you. Never let a tear be wiped away before it has a reason to be shed. Make every part of who you are represent what you stand for. You are relevant, no matter how others perceive you. You are relevant. I want to tell the story of our existence in our own world.
Oh, I'm sorry. I played that twice. All right. Okay. I wanted to ask a question. You said something that was very prevalent. We have another caller in here. Let me see who this is. Hello?
Hello, ma'am. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, I sure can.
Hey, I'm calling up because I'm a little bit confused. And you said say your piece. I didn't get off my chest. My girl, she called me up and she told me she not coming home for Christmas now because she done met this other guy. And she said because he's going places and does better than me, she left me. But she been telling me she loved me for the last 4 years. And I don't think it's right that after a few months she dumped me and go with some other guy. I mean, it's making me really upset. And And then even Darnell knew this was going on before he ever told me. I mean, Darnell, of all people, knew about it before I knew about it. I just don't get it. I mean.
Okay, let me ask you something. Are you for real with this, or are you just playing around? Cause if you
no,
just
ma'am.
Playing,
I'm not playing around, ma'am. I'm not playing around.
Sure?
Of course I'm sure.
Okay, so you're saying that your girl is gone?
Yeah, we've been running together for a while. It's been like 4 years. And then she had to go away for a few months to do other things and finish her training. And now she called up and says she fell in love with somebody else and she ain't worried about me no more, so she ain't coming back.
Okay, if that's her decision, you can't fight that. I mean, I understand how you're feeling, but...
But she's supposed to be mine now. That's not right. That's 4 years together. Why? I mean, you can't just up and leave somebody like that.
Actually, yes, you can.
What?
Wait a minute, hold up. Are you guys married?
No, man. You don't need to be married to stay together.
No. You're not listening to what I'm saying. I said, are you guys not married? Y'all were just dating, right?
For 4 years?
Okay. But actually, if she decides to be with who she wants to be with, that's a choice she's made.
No, that's not right. We were together for 4 years. She got where she is because of me.
But you got to understand, that's a choice she made.
But she wouldn't have made it that high without me watching her back all the time.
Okay. Well, I don't know what to tell you, sir, because you're talking to another woman, and me, I'm sorry. I mean, that's a choice she made. You can't make her stay with you.
That's not right, though.
But if that's what she decides to do, that is her choice.
How can a woman do that?
Huh?
How can a woman do that? You guys talk about loving men, wanting love, and a man to treat you right. And I treated her right, and then she up and left. Oh, because he had better armor. I mean, come on. Just because he making more gold than me, and his gills bigger. I mean, man, come on.
But he had that. But that's what she wanted. That's her choice, and you can't tell a woman what she can and cannot do. That's the problem with men nowadays. They want to control a woman and tell her what she can do. Regardless of what you've done
love.
For her. Listen to what I'm saying. Regardless of what you've done for her, you make it sound like she's obligated to stay with you.
We've been together for 4 years. We are building a future
together. But again, she is her own person, and that's a choice.
But
that
no,
she
why?
Makes. Because she can do that.
just because you want to do that.
Yeah,
if a man
do that.
If a man were to do that, you'd be throwing a fit.
They do it all the time.
If her calling you up right now, you'd be calling me a pig and all this other kind of stuff. But a woman does it to a man and you're okay with it?
No, I did not say that. I said men do it all the time and don't give a woman explanation. So what's the difference?
Salita, may I say something if you don't mind?
Yes, you may.
Okay, sir. You have to understand this, and maybe it's hard accepting the reality. Number one, if she's gone, she wasn't your woman.
Yeah.
But we were together for
four years. She was not your woman. And so you have to understand that love is not possession. Just like she chose to stay with you 4 years and not insist on you marrying her. Maybe she did that for a reason, because she wanted to get up and go when she was tired. Whatever the reason may be. Huh?
Either one of us was a Christian, so we didn't need to marry.
It don't matter what religion that you are. I'm talking about the relationship. I'm talking about love. It's not possession.
We didn't need that bondage of a chain around our finger. That's just wrong.
Well, it don't have nothing to do with it, as you see, because I know married men walked away from whole families. This has nothing to do with it. The fact is that there was no loyalty and there was no devotion to you. That's why she's gone. And
yeah,
so I think the problem is that you're not willing to accept that reality. You're trying to say that it's wrong. It may be wrong, but the bottom line at the end of the day, she's gone. You need to move on.
Yep.
But that ain't right. It shouldn't have ever been that way. Why have women been able to do that? And it's okay for them to do it, but not okay for a guy to do it.
No,
It's not okay for anybody to do it, but it's done. And what can you do about it? It's not against the law to leave a man. I'm sorry?
I'll go take care of him and get her back. That's what I'll do.
What do you mean take care of him? He didn't put a gun in her head. I think he's just being a little over the top here. I'm not going to say anything further. I just, sir, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt and say that you're more intelligent than that. If you don't realize that she didn't want you no more and she chose this other guy, then I'm sorry.
Why are you defending her? I mean, I'll get him fired where he don't have money no more. She'll come back.
I'm not defending anybody. I'm stating the facts according to what you're saying. You said she left. And you're saying that it's not right. And I'm saying, okay, but what can you do about it? It's not against the law to end a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It's against the moral code.
I don't know nothing about no moral code. Everybody's got their own sets of morals, but I'm just saying.
Well, I mean, no more we can say, but to, you mean that's a choice. That's a woman's choice.
It's not a woman's choice just to up and leave a man after 4 years after he's put so much time and effort into her.
It doesn't matter. That was her choice.
She's been trained.
Well, it's better that you got out in 4 years, because, sir, it could be 24 years. So just maybe God is taking the trash out of the way to get to your treasure. But I think you beating a dead horse here, because there's nothing that nobody can do for you. She's gone.
Yeah, but...
But what? She's gone. No matter what you say, she's gone.
Listen, he works at that RockNet Corporation up there. You think if I call in and get him fired and he don't make no money, she'll come back to me?
No. I put it
like this. If you think if she's a woman that has a price tag hanging from her tail, then you'll never be able to afford her. Okay?
This woman doesn't, though. My mom was that way. This one was that way.
Sorry, that's all we can tell you.
Wow.
Are you laughing at my pain?
Nobody's laughing at your pain, but let me get this other person, okay? Hello, 347? Hello? Hello, 347? Simple
hey, what's going on? Yeah, that last guy was a little eccentric, don't you think?
Very much so, sir.
Yeah, so I was hoping if you could give me, like, a little bit of guidance on this, because recently I was at my local Walmart, and there was this homeless woman just sitting outside by the street eating a McDonald's meal. You following?
I was at my local Walmart,
and there was this one woman, homeless, and she was sitting at the side. She was sitting by the side and eating McDonald's meal. So I go to get my bag, and we make eye contact for like a second. I mean, I go to get a cart, and so she comes up to me, grabs me by the shoulder. I turn around, kind of freaked out. You know, you'd be too, right? And so she said, she looked at me and she said, "Ocean man, take me by the hand to the land that you understand." It was kind of like a riddle. I didn't know what it meant. I don't know what to think of it. Do you think you can shed some light on it?
No, and thank you for calling. Okay. Okay, now I think we got jokes.
I guess so. That is very unusual.
You know, sometimes what they do is when they're bored, they'll do this. This is not the first time we've had this turn, so he was being funny.
Oh, okay.
I guess he had a little time on the fence, I guess. But anyway.
Yes, ma'am. No, I was just laughing. I was like, wow.
Oh, somebody don't have nothing better to do tonight. But anyway, I think our conversation was great. I loved it. I wanted to ask this. Let me see, what did I want to say? Okay, I know what it was. When you were talking about it takes a village to raise a child, it used to take a village to raise a child. We have to keep in mind, too, now we got children having children, which is very bad to a certain extent. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, you know, that's because of a lack of education once again. And that's also because of a lack of fathers in the household. You know, a lot of people try to, and I think you and I both, Salita, I think we try to do this. We always trying to find the rationale of things.
Yeah.
But one thing that we have gotten away from is the acknowledgement of good and evil. Because sometimes you can't justify certain things. You can't pinpoint it back to somebody's childhood. You can't pinpoint it back to some kind of psychological traumatic event that happened in their lives to cause situation A, B, or C. Sometimes it is as simple as good and evil. And we're living in a time now where fathers, biological fathers, are having babies with their children.
Yes.
Biological fathers are raping their sons, whatever else is going on. It's about us being responsible in educating our children. But if we, as parents, are not educated, then we don't have an education to pass on to them. So I just hope that your listening audience will extend the hand of fellowship and go out, and if you don't even do nothing but mentor one person to try to make their situation better, then just devote a little of your time to one person, because maybe that one person will go out and touch five people, and maybe the five people that they'll touch will go out and touch 10 people. But if we don't start extending the hand of fellowship, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, then we're looking at not just this generation lost, but generations to come, because we are creating a generational cycle that is going to continue to suck the life and the value of the life out of our people. And we as women, we have the responsibility from the time that the child is conceived in the womb to create an environment that is conducive for a positive life. And just because your situation may be bad today, don't settle for that. As long as you suck in breath, you should be striving to make things better. And the way that you start is to extract as much negativity in your life as possible. But you have to have that desire. No one can have that desire for you. So when it becomes the desires of our heart to really do better, we will do better. But we have to extend that hand to show that there is a better way. Because sometimes the walls of the ghetto will close in on you, and all you see and breathe and think and feel is negativity. So somebody at some time has to have the responsibility of pulling them out into the light and say, hey, on the other side of these walls, it can be victory.
That's true. You know what? You said something that, and there's so much when you said it. I was like, oh, I am the type of person, I'm always trying to rationalize things. I'm always trying to analyze stuff to see, you know what? I can't believe that good and evil is there. I can't get that concept. You understand what I'm saying? I know it's there, but I want to always pick somebody's brain when they do something crazy. Why did you do that? I really want to know why you did that. And you just made, you opened up something for me, because I have to realize there's sometimes there is no reason why somebody does the things that they do. You hear what I'm saying? And I have to settle with that. And I think that's where I have issues with actually settling. Now, I know I've got to find out what really made this person do this. You know, I really do. I need to know. But we spend too much time doing that instead of preventing it from happening with someone else, you know. Somebody that's around that person and see, you know, okay, they did it, so let me do it. My job is to prevent it from happening again by blocking that person from making that decision that's going to probably ruin the rest of his life, or, you know, or destroy them in some kind of way. It doesn't necessarily mean ruin them, but teach them a bad habit that can be broken. Like you said, I need a villager to help raise that child in that area. Now, another thing I have issues with, and we got about 15 minutes, the ideal churches. What is the deal with our churches? And I'm asking this when it comes to our children, because churches used to be the stronghold of each community. What happened? Where is the breakdown? What happened?
Well, I grew up in the mosque, but I'm very familiar with the church. And we have a saying in the mosque that many are called, but few are chosen. And that means by God. So back in the day, way back in the day, we had men and some women who had a very personable relationship with the higher being, whether you call them God, Allah, Jesus, whatever you want to call them. And those people were divinely inspired. And etched on their heart was a message from God to deliver to the people. So what happened is that they started teaching people how to preach. And so they have divinity degrees now. You can go to school and learn how to deliver the word of God. It might not be etched on your heart. You might not have been divinely inspired, but we going to teach you how to preach, amen? So what happens is that when we start looking at people with mega churches and saying, hey, this is a good hustle right here. Well, you know, God has a way of showing you up. And so what has happened to many of our pastors who have these big churches, and they have them in these ghettos, and it's the most expensive building in the whole community, and everybody around you starving, and you got a $2 million building up here. God has a way of exposing you. So what's happening in the church is that it's not rooted on faith.
Mm-hmm.
It's not rooting on the healing of the people. It's not rooted on getting the people closer to God, but it's rooted on how much money I can collect on Sunday,
mm-hmm.
how much spiritual pimping I can do. So when we lose the foundation of what the church is supposed to be, drawing the people to God, gathering up the babies, checking on the elderly, checking on the sick, mentoring to the young men without fathers, and mentoring to the young women without mothers, and consoling the drug addicts, and, you know, being a family-oriented base where we wrap our arms around the community that's suffering, we've gotten away from that.
Mm-hmm.
So now church is a hustle.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are so many things that are immoral. People act like they read the Bible, and they act like Sodom and Gomorrah don't exist. So now girlfriend is up in the pulpit preaching. And when I say girlfriend, I'm talking about the reverend with the pink suit on and the arched eyebrows and the gossip lips. And telling you it's all right for you to be a homosexual because God loves you and he approves. And so we're getting away from the scripture. We've gotten away from so much of the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And so until we get the faith-based foundation back, and until we get the men of God back in the pulpit,
mm-hmm.
this is what it is, and that's what I'm talking about, the difference between good and evil. In your Bible, it says that you're going to have wolves in sheep's clothing.
And it's
we
bad.
Have to get back to the basics. So don't act like, you know, everything that's written in the Bible is coming to pass. Those things are coming to pass. But we don't want to recognize that because we want to be psychologists and psychiatrists, and we want to dissect the brain. And, you know, the white man came up with that trying to be God. He's going to dig up in your head and figure out what's wrong with you. Sometimes it's just evil. But everything holy, there is something unholy. That's the bottom line. That is the foundation of opposites, good and evil. Day and night, black and white. But we've gotten so educated that we've gotten away from the basis. So, sister, it's just evil. Evil is prevalent in this world today. And if we are going to defeat evil, we're going to have to hold fast to God and do what we know in our hearts, as in our nature, is right. But we're falling victim to what we see. We fall victim to the TV. We fall victim to the negativity in our communities. We can't even love and respect one another as men and women in a relationship. You got men out in public calling women all kinds of things. And then now it's gotten so bad that when I see my sister, you know, she ain't my sister no more. You know, she's a B.
Yeah,
she's a hoe.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that B, that hoe, that this. That's how we talk to one another.
That's right.
That's how men talk to us. That's what our children hear.
Mm-hmm.
And we expect them to grow up and do better. That's not possible.
Yep. Right. Yeah. And we allow this to go on, and we get mad if somebody says, you know, why are you calling her that? Well, if you ask the man, wait a minute, that's my bee. I can call her what I want to. And then we think it's funny to be called that. You know, we take it as an endearment. You know, we love that. Well, that's what I am his bitch. That's what this guy, I'm his bitch. If that's what he called me, that's what I am. I'm trying to figure that out. What?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. That's what some of our minds are, because we were never validated to say, hey, you are princesses, you are queens, you are, you know, dignified women of God, you are beautiful, you know, you are precious, you are adored. And we are never taught that, but from coming out of the womb, we hear, you know, those types of names, then it becomes a part of the norm.
Yep.
And we don't check it. We don't check it. Because back in the day, our parents were so, well, our women were so subservient to men. When it was only the man that could go out and get a job and be the breadwinner. So we took a lot of stuff because we didn't have any opportunities or anywhere to go. So we took a lot of stuff. But we're living in a new day. You don't have to take that abuse. You know, because I promise you, I'm not violent. I don't advocate violence, but the first brother that called me out of my name, we don't have a problem. You know, because I command my respect. I'm not going to disrespect him, and I'm not going to be disrespected. And all sisters need to have that standard.
Don't. All of us don't. And I'm not talking about older women. I'm talking about women my age in the 30s and 40s that are allowing men to think and they're so proud that that's what they are. You know, I don't understand that. That's not the case.
Well, you know, sister, when we're looking at the ratio of men to women, and women are getting so desperate out here to have a man that they'll settle for a piece of a man because it's just so hard to find a good man. I'd rather be by myself. You hear me? I'd rather be by myself with me and my dog than to have you in my house treating me like a dog.
That's right. I totally agree with that. Been there, done that.
Yeah, because I hurt somebody for calling me out of my name. I'm just putting it out there so in case anybody get it on their mind. Hey, I'm not that sister. Yeah, I mean, but we have to really stop that. We have to really value ourselves more.
Yes. Now, it would be nice if we could do conferences and seminars just doing that, because I think that's not a, you know what, they'd rather go and listen to one of those entertainers, Girl Power and Girl, Black Girl Rock and all that stuff. They'd rather go listen to them than us. You understand what I'm saying? People that you have to deal with and look at every day. Them stars go back to their mansions. They go back to their nice, big, pretty homes. They're nice cars. They coming up to you in limousines. They ain't gonna come up to you in a wrecking car. They coming to you with a limousine. So I can't relate to them. I just can't relate to them. Can you relate to this?
Well, you know what we have to do? We have to go out for the parents. You know, like parents that are our age, because you and I are about the same age. I'm 47 years old. We have to go after the parents and say, hey, you know what? We're having a women mentoring group over here. I want to invite you, and please bring your preteen and teenage daughters.
Yep. Get off of here. This is what I
want to
do.
We're going to
do this again, okay?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Whenever you need me, you call me.
I will definitely do that. And look, when I get up here, I need to talk to you.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Bye-bye. All right. Good night.
This has been another episode of Through the Eyes of the Black Woman with your host, Salida. We want to thank you for listening in and stay tuned for more.